Where did that leap take you?
Oh my. That was in the spring of 72. And so, now I have to tell you, her husband was in the banking business. Mine was in the savings and loan business. Both of them extremely conservative. And so you can only imagine their expressions when we walk in and say, guess what we're going to do? And when I told my husband, the newspaper had slowly come down. And he said, honey, you don't have a beginning knowledge of how to do that. And I said, I know, but God does. He said, yeah, but you don't have any money. And you're going to need a lot of money. And I said, I know, but God does. And I just began to quote Cheryl, but Cheryl was quoting scripture. And you know, when you begin to really believe scripture, God can do amazing things. And so I think it was kind of like you would pat a child on the head and say, okay, go build your playhouse or go build your fort or whatever. That's pretty much what their reaction was. But we began to pray, and we knew, our husbands made sure we knew we were going to have money. And of course we knew that. We didn't know how much. But it just so happened, right at that very same time, there was a Lions Club auxiliary that was trying to get back together. They had kind of dissolved. And Phil was a Lions Club member, and I went to that meeting. And one of the ladies said, well, I tell you what, I would really like to reorganize. But if we do, I don't want to just sit around and sip tea all day. I want to do something meaningful. I want to do something we can really sink our teeth into and make a difference. I mean, really make a difference in Tulsa. She kept going on like this. And I was with someone who knew a little bit about our dream. And she finally nudged me. And she said, why don't you tell them about your dream and your idea? And so I did. And that evening when I left that house, there were 15 other ladies dreaming our dream. And not only that, but we had decided to have our first fundraising event. I was so excited. I had never ever been a part of one of these before, but we decided to have a garage sale. We scheduled it for soon thereafter, and it rained the whole weekend, but my spirits were not dampened. I walked into the living room and I said to my husband, well, honey, guess how much we made? And he said, how much? And I said, $65. He lowered that paper again. He said, oh, honey, you don't understand. You're going to need at least $2,000 to $3,000 just to get your doors open. That's assuming you've got doors to open, which you don't. You don't have a location. You don't have anything right now. So that afternoon, I was out driving and returning some things, something, running errands. And I said, God, it's up to you now, because I have no idea how to raise $2,000 to $3,000. And if that's what it's gonna take, you're gonna have to tell us how. And I haven't seen that much money raised since. And then it suddenly hit me. My last responsibility at Edison when I was teaching was to direct the ninth grade play. And we had done The Wizard of Oz, and I had had the most talented students on the planet, I thought. And so I thought, well, we raised about $1,200 for that class. And I thought, maybe, I've never been really great at finances, but I thought maybe if we did it several times rather than just one show, we could raise two or three times as much. So I went home, and I called Cheryl, and I told her the idea. And as I was telling her the idea, I was getting more and more scared about how would we actually do this. But when I finished telling her, she said, that's it. That's what we're to do. We're to do, you can direct that play. You can do it all over again. And I said, but Cheryl, I haven't seen my students in 2 years. I don't even know where they are. I don't even know how to reach them. She said, don't worry, God will make a way. And you just start trying to reach them. You start, you know, working on that. And anyway, she got all excited, and her childlike faith kicked in. And to make a long story short, within the next month and a half, all of those kids had agreed to come back and do that production one more time. Some of them still had their costumes. My Tin Man did too, but his costume was made of sheet metal, and he had grown 6 inches, so it didn't work. But at the end of August, we had done, I think, six different showings of The Wizard of Oz. The Recreation Center for the Physically Limited had allowed us to use their auditorium. We had raised close to $3,000.
Wow.
And on the last night, I was standing at the back, so proud of my students. It was really a wonderful play. One of the workers at the rec center was standing next to me, and I'd kind of gotten to know him a little bit. He was a driver and did all kinds of things for them there. And he said, by the way, he said, where's your center going to be? And I said, I don't know. He said, did you know that there was just an article in the paper that said you're opening in 3 weeks? And I said, yeah. And he said, but you don't know where you're opening? And I said, no. He said, what are you looking for? I said, we just need a little place. We had found three other children, or they had found us. They had heard what we were doing. And so we had five students. We knew we wanted five volunteers. The Child Study Center in Oklahoma City was going to guide our teacher who had just graduated from Tulsa University. And I said, so we just need a little place. And I began to describe to him, and he said, you know what? He said, we've got a place like that just next door that we're just using for storage. Why don't you come around in the morning and let me show it to you and see if that might work for you. And
next door of the Recreation Center, yes, for Physically,
yes,
Limited. Okay.
1007 South Utica. Okay. And so the next morning I met him. We literally had to fight our way through the shrubs to get to the front door. It was so overgrown because they were just using it for a storage place. And I went in and it was perfect. There was even a sink that was down at child height. And I understand that at one time it had been a doctor's office. And so for some reason he had kept the sink down low so he could just sit on one of those stools and roll over to it. And a perfect little room for parents to be able to observe between two classrooms. It was perfect. It was probably only about 700 square feet. It was tiny, but it was beautiful. We knew we were going to have to strip the floors and repaint the walls and do some major work on the yard to be able to even let people in the front door. And I hand painted a sign. If you could see it, you'd understand why I'm not real proud of it. But I hand painted a sign with a lighthouse on it. And we had been actually working one day on my dining room table when our attorney had called and said, I'm working on these papers for you. What are you calling this? We hadn't even thought about that. So we said, we'll call you back. So we thought, well, there's a lighthouse for the blind in New York. So this is going to be for little ones. So maybe we could call it Little Lighthouse. And so we had gotten in touch with them and asked if they would allow us to use that name. And they said yes. And so the Little Lighthouse was born. And on October 3rd, 1972, five little children and five volunteers, one very dedicated teacher who had agreed to take the job before we could guarantee her of a salary or a roof over her head, began.
And her name?
Christy Schneider. Christy Danes Schneider. And she was amazing. When we ran out of space, which we did within 9 months, our pupil enrollment had tripled within the 9 months, she came up with the idea to attach the little children's chairs to ropes, and we would hoist them up to the ceiling and then lower them back down for snacks and lunch. But during playtime, they would be hoisted up to the ceiling. Oh. She came up with all kinds of amazing, brilliant ideas and sought help from the Child Study Center, who eventually felt like we were moving on our own. And so they returned to Oklahoma City, and we continued on our own.
So then, did you have volunteers?
We had five volunteers that first morning. We started our day with what we called flock. I think Christy came up with that term. And the little lighthouse has flock to this day. And flock is the time when our staff come together to pray and to have devotionals each morning. And they are still doing that to this day, even though there's, I think, over 80 on staff now. So it's a bigger group. But anyway, that was our beginning.